If you would, turn to Isaiah chapter 46. Isaiah chapter 46. I want to read the first five verses. I've entitled this message, "To Whom Will Ye Liken Me?" To whom will ye liken me? Isaiah 46 and verse 1. Bel boweth down, Nebo stoopeth. Their idols were upon the beasts and upon the cattle. Your carriages were heavy loaden. They are a burden to the weary beasts. They stoop, they bow down together. They could not deliver the burden, but themselves are gone into captivity. Hearken unto me, O house of Jacob, and all the remnant of the house of Israel, which are born by me from the belly, which are carried from the womb, and even to your old age, I am he. And even to your hoar hairs will I carry you. I have made, and I will bear. Even I will carry, and will deliver you. To whom will ye liken me, and make me equal, and compare me, that we may be like? And I'm just going to stop right there for now. This is a chapter of Isaiah that I love to read. I really like this chapter. Now it starts out, we have the bowing and the stooping of idols. Now according to historians, they're Babylonian idols. And supposedly, according to the historians and biblical scholars, this is a reference to what was to come, where Cyrus was to come and conquer Babylon. And their idols, Bel and Nebo, were going to be carried away. And they were nothing but a burden to a beast. They were a heavy load to a weary beast. That's the worth of an idol. That's the worth of an idol. They're nothing. This chapter speaks of the uselessness of idolatry and the glory of the work of the Lord God Almighty. And that's why I like it. Like I said, this reference is to a prophecy, but it's very clear. It says that Bel bows down and Nebo stoopeth. These idols were to be carted away by beasts of burden as the spoils of war. Now, it doesn't specify whether they're intact or broken up. I suppose, of my own thinking, the small ones were taken away intact and the big ones were busted up. Why? Because they made idols of silver and gold and brass, precious metals. I figure the larger ones were broke up for transport, Mason. They were loaded onto wagons and they were carted away. And it says, they stoop, they bow down together. They could not deliver the burden. And I love this phrase. But themselves are gone into captivity. What good is that kind of God? They bowed down to worship these things. I'm not going to sugarcoat it, and I'm going to pretty it up. They offered sacrifices to these things that were the graven images. These idols are graven images. And they sacrificed to them. And it didn't do them a bit of good. Because the idol itself that they bowed down to worship was carried away. An idol, Paul said it, an idol is nothing. Absolutely nothing. It's of no value to you, and it's of no value to itself. They can't even deliver themselves. They stoop, they bow down. Why? Because they couldn't deliver. What possible good could an idol do for you? Now, I do want to point out, because I don't know if it occurred to you, but it has occurred to me. That somebody might wonder, wasn't the Ark of the Covenant carried away a couple of times? Well, yes, it was. One time in particular, it was carried away as a punishment to Israel and a punishment to the Philistines. God dwelt with his people, but God dwelt above the ark. These idols were representations of their God, supposedly. That's what they thought they were. They bowed down to these idols. The Ark of the Covenant is not a representation of God. It is a picture, it is a figure of the work of our Lord Jesus Christ. It's not an idol. It never was an idol. There were people who treated it like an idol, but that didn't make it one. That's why it got carried away. And I tell you what, when that ark got to the house of Dagon, which was an idol, Dagon took the beating. The Philistines took the beating. And the ark was sent back. God did not dwell in the ark. And the ark is not a representation of God. The ark is not a graven image or an idol. These two were, Bel and Nebo specifically. This is the problem with an idol. An idol cannot deliver. That's what Isaiah is telling us here. Through the words of the Lord has told us, an idol cannot deliver even itself, and it cannot deliver you. Verse 3 says, hearken unto me. Hearken unto me. Listen. Listen to me, saith the Lord. O house of Jacob, and all the remnant of the house of Israel, which are born by me from the belly, which are carried from the womb. Listen, I have words for you. Now there are those who don't want to listen. That's not who he's writing to. You understand? He says, listen. He says, hearken unto me. But then he specifies it. O house of Jacob, and all the remnant of the house of Israel. The Lord is speaking to the people he has chosen out of the world. That's the only one the Lord ever speaks to. That's the only ones that will listen, will hearken, especially when he qualifies it in that next statement. Not only the house of Jacob, not only the remnant of the house of Israel, he says, which are born by me from the belly, which are carried from the womb. Isaiah 43 and verse 1 says, but now thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and he that formed thee, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by name, thou art mine. See, these words about Bel and Nebo and idols, that's not for idol worshipers. That's for believers. That's for those whom the Lord has called, whom the Lord has born, and which are carried from the womb. That's who the words of this message is for. That's who the words of this message is to. It's not to the world. It's not to idol worshipers. They won't hear it. They will not listen. But hearken to me, O house of Jacob, and all the remnant of the house of Israel. Everyone is to hearken. Everyone is to listen to the words of the Lord, but they don't. They should, but they don't. I can't be any clearer than that. The world does not want the Word of God. It never has, and it never will. At one time, all of us, including myself, did not want the Word of God. But something changed. And someone changed you, which were born and which are carried from the womb. Who is to hearken to the Lord? Everyone, but specifically the one that he was speaking to. Those were born from my belly. Those which are carried from the womb. And he narrows it down even further. From the house of Jacob and the remnant, when he says that. Because here's where the Lord tells us exactly who he's speaking to and gives us the description of whom he's talking to. Those who were born from my belly. God is the father of his children. Let me be very plain. God is not the father of all. He is Lord of all. He is the God of all creation. But he is not the father of all. He has begotten his people. And that word in the New Testament, it's fathered. That's what it is. The children of God is who this is addressed to. He is the creator of all. He's the God of all creation. He's the Lord over all. And he's the father of his children. It's the same God, but there are different relationships. This message is to and for those who have been born by me and are carried from the womb. There are some that he has redeemed, and there are some that he has not. Romans 9 is clear. Romans 9 is clear. There are vessels of mercy afore prepared unto glory, and there are vessels of destruction. And that's all it is. But notice very carefully, this is not a qualifier. He doesn't say, if you hearken to me here, or while you hearken to me. He doesn't say that here, because here he's talking about his work. Ye were born, but it's from his belly. Ye were carried from the womb. You didn't walk away. You didn't walk up. This is talking about being born of God. Those that are born of God will hearken unto him. And no one else. And he clarifies it even further in verse 4. And even to your old age, I am he. Listen, hearken. Hearken unto me. I am He. God never changes. Therefore, you sons of Jacob are not consumed. God never changes. I am the Lord, I change not. Even to your old age, I am He. If He's the God of your youth, He's the God of your old age. I will never leave thee. I will never forsake thee. Never. 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 Even down to your old age, I am He. We change. We grow old. We grow feebler. It gets to the point where if you go bowling on Friday evening for about an hour and a half, your legs feel bad on Saturday. And your hip bothers you. That never used to happen to me, Mason. I could do all kinds of stupid things. Not that bowling was stupid, it was a lot of fun. God never changes. We are nothing but infirmities. He is nothing but strength and power. And He is He. I am He. Even to our old age, the one who bore us and the one who carried us from the womb. What's He say? Even to hoar hairs will I carry you. I have made and I will bear, even I will carry and will deliver you. Listen to that. Hearken unto me. I have made. I will bear. I will carry. And I will deliver you. That's the gospel. That's the gospel. This God, I am He, is not an idol. He's never been taken captive by any stretch of the imagination. And He will deliver what? You. Hearken. If you've been born and if you've been carried from the womb, you're going to hearken. But what you're going to hearken to? I am He. I have made and ye are made. I will bear, and you have been born. I will carry, and you are being carried now. And I will deliver you, and you shall be delivered. Then he asked this question, to whom will you liken me? To whom will you liken me? I made, I bear, I carry, I deliver. There is no comparison to anyone else, to the Lord. To whom will ye liken me? Make me equal. Equal and compare me. Are you going to compare the Lord of glory to an idol? Well, the answer is no. Why? Because there is no comparison. These idols couldn't deliver themselves. And I'll let you in on a secret. In the land of Israel, before they were taken away, they were worshiping idols there too. Then once they got to Babylon, it's in other places. I'm not going into it. But those that He has born, those that He has made, those that He bears, those that He will carry, those are those and those alone that He will deliver. He says, I will deliver you. God is always specific when he's talking about what he has done. And whenever he speaks of deliverance, it is always specific. This is the message to those that are born of God. To those who are born from above. To those who will listen. Who will hearken. I want to give you the definition of an idol. I could have done this before, but I wanted to do it now. If you look back in Isaiah chapter 45 and verse 20, Isaiah writing says, "Assemble yourselves and come, draw near together, ye that are escaped of the nations. They have no knowledge that set up the wood of their graven image," here it is, "and pray unto a God that cannot save." That's the definition of an idol. It's a God, a God that cannot save. This is the definition of the Lord here. He is the God who can save. He is the God who does save. I have made, I will bear, I will carry, and I will deliver. Yes, an idol is the product of the imagination of men. And yes, an idol may be a thing of wood, brass, silver, and gold. That's the definition specifically of a graven image. But all idols are not graven images. Now these particular idols that Isaiah wrote of, they couldn't save themselves. They bowed down. They stooped. These idols, and here's the key, they can't save. Why? Because the idols are subject to the hands of men. And the Lord of glory is not subject to the hands of men. And that's why they hate him. You can't throw God up on a cart and haul him out of town and melt him down and sell the gold. There's places all over Princeton right now wanting to buy scrap gold. I don't know what scrap gold is, Mason. Because I always figure if it's gold, it's still gold, you know? Well, that's what these idols were worth. That's all they were worth. The definition of an idol is that it's a god, little g, that cannot save either itself or you. And this is the Lord who does save his people from their sins. This chapter is speaking of the power of God in the salvation of his children. Remember this. That's what he says next. Where? Remember this and show yourselves men. Bring it again to mind, O ye transgressors. Remember the former things of old, for I am God and there is none else. I am God, there is none like me. To whom will ye liken me? No one. No thing and no one. No other God can save. The Lord's arm is not short that he cannot save. I will bear. I will carry. I will deliver. First, I have made you. I have made you. Then I'll bear, and I'll carry, and I'll deliver the same one that is born. He goes on to say that from the beginning he declared the end. Verse 10. And from ancient times the things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand, and I will do, God will do, the Lord will do all my pleasure. Calling a ravenous bird from the east, the man that executed my counsel from a far country, yea, I've spoken it. I will also bring it to pass. What? I have purposed it. I will also do it. How's he in this chapter? I know the chapter divisions are put in there. I will bring near my righteousness. My righteousness. It shall not be far off. And my salvation, it's my salvation, shall not tarry. And I will place salvation in Zion for Israel, my glory. To whom will you liken me? This is a chapter about salvation. It's about the uselessness of idolatry and the salvation of our Lord God. And it is, I will. Yeah. I will hearken unto the Lord of glory. He will. It's a positive statement. It's a positive statement. I have made, I will bear, I will carry, and I will deliver you. Listen to this. Take comfort in his words. All that are born of God, all that he bears, all that he carries. Now I said it, any God who cannot save, little g, is an idol. Mason, not just graven images. Because I can tell you this, it doesn't matter if its name is Allah, Brahma, or Jesus. Oh, wait a minute, now I'm gone to meddling. Yes, I have. No, I'm gone to preaching. The God of the Bible, the Jesus of the Bible, the Christ of the Bible, is the one who has made, who will bear, will carry, and will deliver. And if you're not preaching that Jesus, you're preaching an idol. If you're not hearing that Jesus, you're hearing an idol. If a man preaches a Jesus who cannot save without your help, he is preaching an idol. Yeah. I got six of these. If a man preaches a Jesus who needs your help for anything, he's preaching an idol. We work because of salvation, not to get salvation. If a man preaches a Jesus who's hoping that someone will let him have his way in the world he created, he's preaching an idol. If a man preaches a Jesus who cannot or will not go against the will of man, he's preaching an idol. If a man is preaching a Jesus who does not bring salvation to his people, he's preaching an idol. And if a man's preaching a Jesus who has purposed that all men should be saved, he's preaching an idol. The God of the Bible saves his people. It's my salvation because it's mine. He gives it to his people. Jesus Christ is bringing us to God. That's why we're coming. We do come, but that's why we're coming. Because I will bear you, I will carry you, I will deliver you. I made you. You're mine. My counsel shall stand. God said that. I will do all my pleasure. And God is pleased to save his people by his son's work. I have purposed it. I will also do it. Now, if he's purposed the salvation of anyone, what's that mean? He's got to do it. You can go on and on about the purposes of God, but never forget this part. Because this piece is always in this scripture. If he's purposed it, he's going to do it. And if God purposed to save everyone, then everyone's going to be saved. Because he's got to do it. He's God. He changes not. He lies not. Who was it that said, I can give you a four-letter word that'll tell you all about the fact that God didn't purpose to save anyone or everyone. And that word is hell. Our God is in the heavens. He hath done whatsoever he hath pleased. This is the God of the Bible. This is the Jesus of the scriptures. And anything else is the imagination of men and subject to men. And it's an idol. I don't care whether it's a graven image or not. I'm not going into kissing the feet of the statue of Mary or Peter or anything else. If God is subject to men, it's an idol. Because this God is subject to no one and nothing. I will do all my pleasure. Anything else, anyone else, is an idol made from the imagination of men. It's to be discarded. It's nothing. An idol is nothing. And God Almighty, the Lord of glory, is all. And in you all. That's the one I want to know. And if you don't know that one, if you don't understand, you don't have to comprehend everything, but you do need to understand him. Because if he's not your Lord, he's not your Savior. Because only the Lord has the power to save. And it's the Lord's salvation that he gives. I have made, I will bear, I will carry, and I will deliver you. That's his promise to everyone that is born of God. Our Heavenly Father, we're thankful again for this time and this place. For those you've gathered together, brothers and sisters in Christ, thank you. For the fellowship and the gathering. Thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you most of all for our Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen.